possession this morning are those done on Thursday, December 14th, 1972, in connection with an oral history project at California State University, San Diego. The interview this morning concerns itself with women in politics, and we are talking with Mrs. Janice Heinzman, mayor of the city of Del Mar. The interviewer's name is Hugh Chinland.
Have you ever done any of these and had the ticket machine not work?
Yes.
At the end of 2 hours of extensive interviewing,
you had nothing. We had that experience from one of the women in the class. She forgot to push the record button, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's concerning. Okay.
Yeah. I noticed it's working for me.
Good, okay.
You can't get too close to that condenser mic because it'll just distort.
Does it?
Like crazy. Before we get started, in your role in politics, possibly you can give us a little background. If you don't mind, you might tell me first your age.
I'm 40.
40, yeah. Okay, and could you just review a little bit of your family background for us?
Well, I come from, I'd say, perhaps upper middle class family. My father's a dentist. My mother is a college graduate, as my father, and I have a twin brother. I'm one of two children, and I come from a relatively sheltered environment, and went on to school and to UCLA without even questioning the fact that I would go on to university. Then after graduating, I married, and my husband and I have two children, and after they were in about the, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade, so that they were in school all day, I decided to return to school and get my doctorate degree at UCSD in history. And so after waiting a while, I went back to school, and that's where I'm currently enrolled at this point.
I see.
What are you smiling about? You look like you're thinking of a neat question.
Too many I sees.
No.
I'm always saying that.
I do that too.
Were any of your family involved in public life in your youth?
No.
Not at all.
No. Mother was active in perhaps civic things and you know, PTA, the usual thing, but not in public life as I think you mean it to be.
More or less volunteer work.
Yes, then. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And your husband, the present, is?
Is electrical engineer. Well, he's a computer engineer with Hydrospace Corporation, and he's not interested in public life.
He doesn't care about it a bit.
No, he's oriented toward computers and the home, which is nice. And he thinks it's nice that I'm participating, but he himself has no interest in public life or civic.
How much or what kind of support do you get from your family in your public life?
I think a great deal. I don't know so much active support in the sense that that Fred pushes me to do anything in public life. I mean, he feels that as long as I'm enjoying myself, fine. That's what he wants for me. But he has never actively pushed me to participate in any facet of public life. He doesn't really enjoy a lot of it himself. In other words, he'll attend functions where I have to be, but he's not thrilled with the whole idea. My children, I think, are somewhat proud that I'm mayor, but I think they slightly resent the time that it takes, you know, from time to time. When there are problems or things to do for them, when it is at their expense, I think sometimes there's a little resentment, but I think generally they're fairly proud that I'm doing something in the community. Now that they're older, when they were younger, I don't think it had much meaning to them, and I've never really talked a lot about it with them.
Do you regret that your children feel this way?
No, because I think that's part of the life they're going to have to cope with. I think the only thing I do regret, and I think this is typical of most women that are doing things other than being homemakers, is that you feel sort of fractionalized at times. And I question sometimes whether I am doing things to benefit, enrich myself at the expense of my family and children. And I think that's the hardest problem that a woman copes with, in my opinion. I'm speaking mostly for myself now, of course.
Okay, you reviewed a little bit of your education for us. After your education was over, did you get into any professional work? Relying on your education as a student?
Yeah, I worked for 2 years as an assistant buyer back in Fleen's department store in Boston. My husband was there with Cambridge Research Institute. He was in the Air Force. So I did become an assistant buyer, and I enjoyed it, but I did feel that it was not the kind of work that I wanted to spend the rest of my life doing. It was too aggressively competitive. not in an intellectual sense. It just was competing. And it was difficult for me as a woman being brought up in an area, or an era, I guess, where you're taught that certain qualities you're ladylike and certain qualities aren't, to be forced to compete in a level that you felt was not enhancing those qualities.
Did this employment utilize your education?
Yeah, I majored in merchandising, so it obviously did at that time, although I did switch later to history, as you know.
Okay. In your past, what civic or volunteer work have you done?
Oh, I started out, I guess, in, well, here in Del Mar, in PTA, and then on the Planning Commission, and of course City Council. I'm active in the Children's Auxiliary to the Del Mar Unit, the Women's Auxiliary to the Children's Health Center. I've been the chairman for the last 2 years now. I've done various study committees, worked on bond issues and things like that, the usual kinds of things, I think.
How many years have you been in Del Mar?
I think around 12. I may be off longer, but around 12. And I was originally born in Los Angeles. My husband and I both come from Los Angeles, and I'm third-generation Californian, so I threw that in because apparently there are not many of us wandering around.
No, not many.
Yeah.
Now, in relation to public office, then, you mentioned City Council.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the first instance of public office holding you've involved in?
No, the first instance was the Planning Commission, which is an appointive office. And I was appointed to that and served, I think, 4 years. I can't remember exactly, but more than 2 years. Then several people came to me and asked me to run for City Council. This was 6 years ago, which I did, and fortunately won, and then ran again 2 years ago and was reelected. And I have 2 more years to serve. Or a little less than 2, actually.
Who appoints the Planning Commission?
The City Council.
And the mayor is appointed how?
The mayor is elected from among the councilmen. The councilmen themselves choose the mayor.
The population at large does not?
No, we're one of, I think, 2 or 3 cities in this area left that still have an appointed mayor. He is elective in the sense that he's one of a councilman elected to the office, but then in turn to become mayor, he's chosen from the council. And most cities now are going toward an elective mayor.
What were your motivations for seeking a public office?
I think first because they asked me to, secondly I suppose because it's personally flattering, third because I felt I could do as good a job as people that have served in the past, fourth I felt that if I'm going to sit there and criticize or offer comments to city government, I should be willing to serve. You're smiling again, how come?
Did you feel at any time that you had a duty or any sort of civic duty?
That would be my fourth reason, that I felt that, you know, I don't think an individual has a right to carp about government unless he or she, himself or herself, is willing to participate in city government.
Now, you mentioned you were asked to run.
Yeah.
What group or people asked you?
Just a group of interested citizens, people that had participated in civic affairs. No one, as I recall, there may have been one that was on the city council at that time. I don't remember, but it was mostly people whom I respected who had been active in the community and who felt, it was a group of men and women, who felt that I would do a good job representing the kinds of things they wanted represented on city council.
What do you feel your qualifications are from your past that pertain to such a job?
Well, my personal evaluation, and this may vary, of course, greatly from other people's opinion of me, would be, I think, first of all, overall perspective. Now, again, people might criticize and feel that I'm not accurate in this. This is my evaluation. And plus, then if you talk about being a city council, the experience I had being on the Planning Commission was obviously a factor, and I had participated in study groups involving various aspects of the community, development of various, it's been so long I really don't remember all of them, but things dealing with floodplains and so forth that I felt gave me some expertise in the field of city government.
Could you expand on qualifications for the position of mayor? What qualifications you think are necessary for that position, even in a small town like Del Mar?
That's really hard to say because I don't see them necessarily as being that distinct from the qualities that would make a good councilman. I would think probably the qualities I've enumerated earlier. I think a person that can represent the city creditably, that can try to represent the entire council, someone who can participate intelligently in carrying out, in formulating policy, who can work well with people. I think those qualities would be ones I would say would be most important.
Now, since the job of mayor is an elected position through the council, and you mentioned that the council position mm-hmm. was an elected position by the populace, I assume you had to run a campaign.
Well, to run for council, not for mayor.
Yes, right.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
Did you find running a campaign difficult?
I don't like campaigning, so I had very good campaign managers who liked running campaigns. I was very fortunate. There were two women. One was a woman who had run, I believe, for council a number of years ago, and then another one is the woman, Mrs. Shaw, whom I think you know, who handled my last campaign. And they're both women that are extremely good at organizing and who love politics. Now, I like functioning in politics, but I don't like campaigning. I enjoyed actually getting out meeting people. That I did enjoy, and I hadn't expected to as much. But there are mayors that say they really enjoy campaigning more than anything else. You know, they really enjoy that more than serving. Well, I like serving more than I like campaigning.
How did you happen to choose your close associates as managers?
Well, they volunteered.
They were volunteers.
Yeah, they offered to serve, they offered to do this for me, and I was thrilled. And they were people whom I respected and who had a great deal of talent, and they offered their services to run my campaign. I mean, I did not select them. I selected them in the sense that I, you know, chose them to do it, but they are the ones that came to me first and offered. And I was very pleased, and I've been very fortunate, because they're very qualified people, and I respect them both very much. Plus all the women that worked on the campaign, and some men, but mostly women.
I see. But what reasons can you see for women being better campaign managers than men?
I don't think they are necessarily better. It just happened I had two campaign managers that were excellent that happened to be women, but I don't think there's that much difference.
You would have accepted men as
certainly.
Campaign managers.
And listen, anyone who volunteered would have been welcome, I'll tell you.
Now, in order to run a campaign, you had to select certain specific issues, I would imagine, on which to base your platform.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go about selecting those issues?
I think I tried to choose issues that were important to me as a citizen living in Del Mar. And I tried to think in terms of what did I want for Del Mar, being one person living here, representing, say, a larger group of people. For instance, a housewife with small children. What were the issues that to me seemed to be important as a housewife with small children? And those, I think, is how I think I selected most of the issues.
What are some of the issues in Del Mar?
Well, I think right now the most current issue is that of growth. You know, if we're going to grow, how we're going to grow, how to cope with the changes that are taking place about us. And I think that has really been sort of the issue throughout, this idea of developing rationally as a city. And I think that would be the one continuing theme from the time I first ran till now. The other is preserving the village atmosphere, which is related to the question of growth. So those are really two major ones. Then there are other issues, for instance, facilities for children and growing teenagers, places that they can congregate and enjoy the community, which is something we haven't solved yet. Another issue is open space. Various issues that I think are important to a great mass of people living here. Now, by the same token, I may be missing issues that are important, too, because the fact I don't represent in myself, say, some of the people, I'm sure I'm not as oriented toward, say, merchants as a group or toward renters as a group. I try to represent them, and I try to reflect their views in my decisions, but inherently I represent the residential dweller, the homeowner, and that's a fairly large percentage of the population in Del Mar. And I happen to represent a woman, resident homeowner with children, which is also a fairly large section of the population in Del Mar.
Now, up until a few years ago, I don't want to place a time on it, but the city council was a merchant-oriented council, was it not?
I'm not sure if it was merchant-oriented. I would say it might have been slightly more growth-oriented. And I really don't have a breakdown of the people involved, but I think you may be right that there were more people representing the merchant community on there. Right now, there's really no one, except Tom Pearson, our past mayor, is, you know, interested in reflecting their views, as most of us are trying to also reflect their views. But there's no one really, per se, as a merchant.
A merchant on the council.
Right, right. Mm.
What is the makeup of the council?
We have one who is a music professor at the university, another who is a graduate student at the university. I'm a graduate student at the university. Are you getting the picture? Then we also have a lawyer with the state who is works with the highway Department of Highways, and then our Councilman Pearson, who works with Gulf Atomics as an engineer. So it's I would say it's a highly educated and articulate council, and one that represents the residential community, and to a great extent also, I think, the university outlook, if there is such a thing.
Okay, getting back to campaigning, campaigns need funding.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go about raising money?
My campaign managers got out a list of people and asked them for money, and the people donated, and that's how we got it. It's not a big deal because we didn't spend that much, I mean, a couple hundred dollars at the most, and mostly from smaller contributors. And it was people in the community that would give $5 or a dollar, whatever it was.
What press relations did you have during the campaign?
I don't know.
The usual?
I have no idea. I mean, it's not really a press-oriented campaign. It's really within the city. I mean, you speak at coffees. They're not very successful, but you speak at coffees. You go out, and there are several public meetings at which you speak. This last time I went out and rang doorbells, which was very interesting. And just generally, first of all, you're known to many people through prior activities. I was, through PTA and so forth. I'd been president of PTA the year before, and I was active in church groups. So partly it was that way. But there's no press relations as such, I don't think. It's too small a community. I mean, we're not that conscious of those kinds of things particularly, I don't think.
What was the media you used for your campaign? In other words, the two or so hundred dollars that you had, what sort of media did you put out?
I think primarily it would be a few posters and then a letter that went out to everyone in the community with a picture and explaining my goals and my qualifications. And then last time I sent out a reminder also after the letter, just reminding people to vote and to vote for me. Just we passed those out, handed them out. But it was primarily one mailing and a few posters.
What are some of the aspects what effect did being a female have on your selection to office?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know the breakdown of the people who voted for me. I assume it were many of the residents. I don't know if I had a strong vote among women or not. I would assume so. It may have had some impact in the sense that I'm sure there are some men that might not want a woman on city council. But that has not really been a strong feeling. I've not really encountered overt hostility to women being in public office. But I'm not a very aggressive woman, so I don't elicit that kind of response as often as, say, other women might that are in public office.
All righty.
What are you laughing at again?
I'm trying to regroup my thoughts here.
Why? Am I throwing you off?
Not at all. Do you think there were any effects from the immediate council when you were selected to be mayor because you were a woman?
Not that I'm aware of. I see ourselves as five people working together for sort of a common interest, and I didn't think that being a woman was pro or con. There was a factor, negative or positive factor. I think there was one councilman who felt it was a good idea having a woman, that it was good for Del Mar and good for women. He's very conscious of women's lib and promoting this kind of thing, so he saw it in a positive sense. I would hope that none of the councilmen saw it in a negative sense. If they did, they certainly didn't indicate this to me. So I really have no way of evaluating.
Okay. Your appointment by the council to the job of mayor, how do you think that was received by the public at large?
I think most calmly. I don't think it made any waves. I've been around for a while. I've been vice mayor for 4 or 6 years, so that people felt, I think, that I was qualified. There was one letter that came in which I really enjoyed because it was written by a man, a previous councilman, who was upset because our former mayor was no longer mayor. And I might add here at this point that Tom Pearson, who was our former mayor for 4 or 6 years, has done an excellent job. I mean, he's much more dedicated, I think, than any of us as far as giving time and attention. Anyway, Tom was off. We got a letter directed to the newspaper criticizing the new council, which is composed of a music teacher, a civil servant, a graduate student and a housewife for mayor, and the only person with business experience was no longer mayor. So that was my one experience. But I think generally people felt that a great sense of, you know, no sense of worry, or I don't think it was that big a thing. You know, I hope I functioned efficiently as a councilman enough so that people weren't alarmed by my views or the fact that I, you know, or aware of the fact I try to do my homework and I try to be moderate and reflective in what I say and do. Not in what I say, in what I do.
What, now am I to assume that in addition to your job as mayor, you're just a housewife now?
No, I'm a graduate student working on a thesis, and I have just finished teaching a course at USIU in Russian history. So I've been sort of a teacher and student and housewife and then mayor.
Very busy.
Yeah, it gets to kind of a lot sometimes. So I'm not teaching this quarter, and I'm hoping to spend more time now working on my dissertation, and I've really got to get going on that.
Do you find much of your time taken up with this job, or...?
A great deal at times. It's more flexible. I mean, there are things you can put off or do at your own pace. But I do find that it does take quite a bit of time, yes. Particularly if you want to do a thorough job. Now, as I say, I probably won't spend quite as much time as our past mayor because he was extremely dedicated and gave a great deal of time. And I'm trying to limit my time to those things which are important to being a mayor, but not necessarily the ceremonious functions that don't really make any difference to the city per se. I mean, I'm not saying that well, but there's some functions to which you're invited as mayor that really don't make any difference if you're there or not. There's some functions at which you represent the city that are important, and those I'll try to be, to attend and represent the city. So I'm trying to delineate between the non-essential and the essential functions for mayor. And Charles also run a fast meeting so it gets through quicker. Okay.
Now, from the first point when you joined the council, after being elected to the council, have your attitudes changed as to the function of the council? And if they have, what differences do you find now that you did not find then?
I don't think my perception of the function of council has changed so much. The function of council is to make policies concerning the running of the city. And I think I've always seen it as that, and I think it has remained that through the time I've served on the council. I think the only thing I think as a councilman I become constantly aware of is the need to really try to reflect the views of the community and not to abuse the power that we do have. I think it's difficult for people in office not to get a sense of arrogance and sense of self-pride. I think that's something you always have to fight against. And I think the thing you have to do is try to remember that you try to weigh an issue. Usually, on most issues, you're as well-informed, if not more, than most of the people in the community. Then your task is to try to evaluate and determine a policy that is best for the community as a whole, not just reflecting your own personal views and predilections, but one that will reflect the welfare of the community.
What have you learned or gained by this experience as councilwoman first and then mayor second?
I don't know. I think I've gained more self-confidence. I think I've learned to make better judgments and decisions. Do you want to turn it off for a minute? It's really hard to say. I've learned a great deal more about the community and about the city. I've learned more about how cities operate. I've gained a great deal of respect for local government. I get very impatient for people that serve in politics that don't do a good job because I think we have a very high caliber of membership on the council we have had in Del Mar. I think we're an exceptional community in that sense, and I'm not trying to pat ourselves on the back, but I think we are a very thoughtful and honest and intelligent group of people. And so I think I've gained a sense of respect for people like that who serve out of a sense of duty and not out of a need to enhance their prestige. It's hard to finish that. To enhance their prestige by gaining a reputation serving in politics, by gaining people's awareness of them by serving in politics.
Do you find the job as mayor, or let me rephrase it, are you satisfied with the effectiveness that you are putting forth now as mayor?
That's a hard question to answer. First of all, I've only been mayor 6 weeks, so I really haven't had a chance to be terribly, hopefully, ineffective or, you know, effective. I've been satisfied with it because I feel my function as mayor, which differs, I think, from other people's perhaps, is that of working together and reflecting, being a moderator for the council as well as representing the city. And so I felt I've tried to be effective in those fields. I really haven't been in long enough to get a feeling about that. I don't feel any sense of frustration that I'm not being more effective or anything. Okay. I am not personally that ambitious, I think, so maybe I wouldn't feel it as keenly as perhaps some other person might.
Did you find the job as councilwoman, your effect there, did you find that satisfying? We can go back that further, then, if you'd like.
In when you say satisfying, how do you mean it?
Well, sitting here on the council, doing a job for the community, doing your bit as effective as you are, did you think you were accomplishing something? Were you making an addition to the council that was satisfying to you personally?
I think so. First of all, perhaps on a personal level, you get a feeling of worth, that you are contributing something, that you are doing that which you feel you can do reasonably well. Secondly, in a small town, you can see concrete results of your action. For instance, some of the things I worked very hard for were this park and open space program, which we can see actually bearing fruit now with the park acquisition. Another one I worked very hard for was the beautification, the trees down the middle of Camino del Mar. And so you actually see the results of things you were working for, and that gives you a very good sense of, a great sense of accomplishment. And it's, I think it's an unusual feeling for people to have. I don't think people very often have a sense of accomplishment like that.
Would you consider public office as a career, whether it be councilwoman, mayor, or whatever?
I don't think so. It would be hard to differentiate. It's very flattering, you know. I mean, to think of having public office and people knowing you, that kind of thing, on a personal level. But as far as a career, I have sort of ambiguous feelings about politics and politicians. I see ourselves as being sort of civic-minded individuals serving in a small town. But I also have a dichotomy because I see a lot of politicians as serving through personal ambition and not necessarily serving as well as they might. And I put them in a different category, even though I, quote, am a politician, unquote, since I'm in public office. Does that come through? I don't think I'm saying it well, but I don't like politics per se. I like civic responsibility. And I somehow have, I think, an average layman's view about politics, where I don't think necessarily highly about some of the people involved in politics. I think some of them are serving from the wrong motives and are serving the wrong ends. And so I think highly, I think, of small government and local government, where we in office have to be responsible to the needs of the people.
You see the needs of the people being fulfilled more on a small scale.
Well, more so because the fact that we're here, and they come if we're not filling those needs, and we know about it pretty fast. Now, you're never going to fill the needs of all the people, because there are too many conflicting needs and views on how the needs are to be met. But generally, I think we've been meeting the needs of most of the people. I mean, I would assume the fact that several of us in the council have been reelected would be a sign that we've met the needs of most of the people, or we wouldn't have been reelected. Okay? And the fact that very often, on most issues, we have debates, but they're not huge outpourings of angry populace, except on certain issues like dogs on the beach that always draws a crowd, I would assume that we're reasonably well meeting the needs of most of the people in the community. Now, that doesn't mean we can't meet them better and being more responsive, because I think that's another problem. But as of now, we're at least not doing a bad job to the point where people are incensed and coming down and storming City Hall.
Getting back to the population of City Council meetings, do you find people coming to City Council meetings, taking part?
When there's controversial issues, there's always a large crowd for Del Mar. Now, a large crowd here would not be a large crowd given San Diego Council meetings.
On controversial issues, people come out. Or an issue that hurts people, they'll come out. But when it's something that is not controversial or does not seem to be injurious to most people, then there's general apathy, I would say. There are a few individuals that consistently come to city council meetings and are interested citizens. But these are the same ones that come. But the general run of the mill, I think, as long as their basic needs are being met, don't bother about it. You know, don't bother to come or spend the time.
Okay, going on to a different vein now. Do you, let me rephrase this.
Do you want me to interview you for a while?
No. How is your position affected, how is your position as mayor or councilwoman, the time it takes, affected your social life?
It hasn't been being mayor or councilwoman that's affected my social life. I think the thing that affected my social life the most was going back to school. And I really think that curtailed my social life a great deal. And it's been all right because my husband's very quiet and he's family-oriented, and I've gotten to the point now that I really enjoy just quiet evenings with my husband and our children. When I was first married and had small children at home, like most women and housewives at that stage, could hardly wait to get out in the evenings to get away from baby talk. But now I really find I enjoy quiet evenings at home more than almost any other recreation. And that has been a result, I think, of being spending a great deal of time studying and going back to school more than being mayor or city councilwoman.
Okay, considering both? No, I won't ask you that question.
Go on, ask it anyway.
I think we've answered it already. Okay. Pretty effectively. Well, considering your job as mayor and councilwoman, and student, mm-hmm. How has that affected your family life, if at all?
The largest way is something I referred to earlier, this feeling that I'm not contributing as much as I should to my husband and children at times. I don't have enough time to do the things around the home to create the home environment I would like, and that is very frustrating to me as a woman and as a housewife and as a mother. But other than that, just a sense of personal frustration and time being spent on multiple activities and not focused on the home primarily, that is, I think, the most trying aspect of being in public life or going back to school. I find things left undone around the house that, to me, being relatively neat, are very frustrating. I mean, there are many things I'd like to do to improve the quality of the home that I just haven't had time. I still make most of my clothes and sew for the children, but a lot of other things, like a lot of my gardening I've had to curtail, and spending time creating decorations for the home and this kind of thing, making pillows, that kind of thing, that are now, to me, are a luxury that I no longer have time for at this point in time.
All righty. Let me preface this next question by asking you if are there any factional pressures in Del Mar that you can see? Let's say developers versus environmentalists, that sort of thing.
I think there have been created some the last few years that are gradually developing, and that would be the pressure between the old Del Mar, which is a conservative residential group, and a new Del Mar, which are very often representatives of the university coming in, that are much more liberal politically and perhaps intellectually in their outlook. And I think there is a source of tension between the two views who worry about people, old Del Mar worrying about the new, quote, ultra-liberal, unquote, faction that's now on city council, and this is their opinion of it, not mine, who are going to lead Del Mar down the primrose path. And the views of this newer element of Del Mar that see the conservative element as being reactionary and not responding to times and perhaps overstressing private property at the expense of public use of facilities. And yet both elements are joined in their desire to keep Del Mar essentially a small town and keep it as desirable as it is. So that's the one uniting factor between these two elements, as I perceive it. Now, I might be wrong in my views, but this is the way I perceive the situation.
In addition to that particular faction pressure here in Del Mar, how do you react to factional pressure in general, this being considered?
I don't think I quite understand your question, but I could answer in general that I don't like factionalization. It creates tension. And I like people working together toward common goals, which is the way I perceive solutions to come about. so that by nature, and not because, I don't think primarily because I'm a woman, I think just my own personality, which of course obviously is affected by being a woman, but is one of not wanting discord and tension and pressure. I want people to work together in harmony. So for that reason, I don't like factionalization. I do like divergent opinions that can be used as sounding boards against opposing views to work out a solution that's generally good. But I think my prime desire is that of harmony and working together harmoniously with different groups and trying to resolve a problem rather than, my roommate expressed it once, and I thought it was a funny expression. I used it when I came into office, but she said once, you know, men do love to butt heads. And I thought that as a woman, I appreciated it fully. So I see my role as preventing heads from being butted too hard and trying to get people working together towards something as harmoniously as possible, given different viewpoints. And that kind of wandered a lot, but that's
all right.
Your answer.
Possibly you'll expand on that butting heads situation between the men. Do you think men would react differently to factional pressures, and how would they?
I think most men that are interested in these kinds of problems, or say in serving in public life and so forth, relish opposing views as giving them a sort of a challenging situation with which to deal. I'm generalizing without having a great deal of knowledge on this field. I think most women, and again, this is conditioned a great deal, I think, by society, prefer to avoid confrontations. Now, there are exceptions to both these generalizations I made. There are men that would rather just have the world go by peaceably, and there are women that would love to get into aggressive situations and try to cope with it. I think most women don't mind intellectual challenges. They don't like disharmony. And I think that's traditionally been the role of women, to try to create harmony within the home, within the community framework, within the world framework. So I think somewhat of this is not only my own personal predilections, I said earlier, but it may be conditioned as well. I just don't know how much of this is conditioned.
Okay, how do you react, and maybe you can generalize on women as well at the same time, to criticism of your office, let's say, the way you're running your office?
I think my first reaction is, if someone criticizes, there may be validity to what they're saying, and I would try to think about what they're saying and see if I feel they're right. There's also a personal feeling sometimes of feeling that I've let someone down, or I may not have performed my job as well as I should. I mean, you know, the sense of, say, your feelings might be slightly hurt by it. Not offended, in my case, but hurt, because I'm sensitive to this kind of thing. But hopefully I would accept criticism and learn from it and perhaps be more effective if I felt the criticism were merited. And in many times it is. I mean, people have been very good when they criticize. They've been pretty, I think, objective about it. I mean, it's not been criticism in the sense of hurting. It's been criticism from the point of view of trying to help or raising a legitimate point that I may not have seen at the time.
How would you react to unsubstantiated criticism then? We talked about the informed type.
I guess I would consider the source. And if I really felt it were in uninformed criticism, I would first think about what was being said and then who was saying it. And if I really felt uninformed, I would disregard it because it would have no validity in my mind.
All right, I'm sure we've been down this road before, but what quality or qualities do you think women can add to a position such as yours, whereas maybe a man couldn't?
Are you talking about as mayor or as councilman?
As mayor. As mayor right now, as councilman before.
You know, I think that's hard to answer because I try to perceive people, and I think that maybe we need to in a way, as individuals. So it would really be what an individual can contribute, not as per se a woman or per se a man. Now, there may be some general qualities a woman might contribute because of, say, conditioning or society. But that's really hard to say because I think you could choose a woman to be mayor who could do a very bad job. And a different woman that might do an excellent job, just as you find the same two extremes among men. So I really think it's a case of personal qualities. It's hard to think of a general quality that women might share. I think they might bring more patience and perhaps willing to sit through more tedious formal occasions. Hopefully they might bring a greater extent of moderation among dissenting views, but that again is an individual quality, and I don't know if all women would share that or not.
I see. There I go again.
It's okay.
Stupid.
You can allow that. I keep saying you know, so I'll trade you. You say you know for a while, and I'll say I see, okay?
Okay. Now, Delmar, granted Delmar is a rather small community, do you see, or could you see possibly, a person using his position or her position on the council as a councilman or even mayor as a stepping stone for political advancement?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I don't know how effective it would be in a town this size, but obviously anyone could. Sure, you could use any kind of office to advance yourself if you were thinking in those terms. You could use chairman of a local service organization as a stepping stone if that's what you wanted.
Do you see this happening at all in the present council?
No, because I think that the councilmen are concerned with issues. If they're ever interested in going beyond the confines of the city, it's more in terms of, for instance, this Proposition 20. It's more in terms of implementing a proposition that they believe in than self-aggrandizement. And so at this point, I don't see any of the councilmen or myself as being personally ambitious. This is my own personal view now. I think they're more interested in if they can be effective bringing about changes they want, then they're willing to go beyond the activities limited to Del Mar and extend their activities beyond that, but not necessarily for self-aggrandizement or to perpetuate themselves in a higher office. I really don't think, you know, in a small town, there really aren't that many avenues out of here to go up into politics, I don't think. I mean, I really can't see anyone being highly ambitious really serving as a small town councilman or mayor. I would see them going through a political party and working, you know, through, say, the council, you know, the committees, the central committee of a political party, and going on to, say, supervisorial levels or that avenue, rather than being a mayor. Although that isn't always true, because there are some mayors, but of larger cities, that are running for office and have been the last couple of years. What?
Nothing. Let me check the time here. All right. In terms of time spent on in your job as mayor, do you think there are differences, or do you think you spend more time, or do you think maybe a man would spend more time doing his job?
I don't think it would be a case of man or woman. It really ties back to what I said earlier. I think you find very seldom someone as dedicated as Councilman Pearson. I think that he would give more time, or has given more time, than most of the other men on the council, or more than myself. But I think that's an individual case, not a case of man versus woman. And I don't know if you could generalize. I think it really, again, comes down to the individual and how dedicated he or she is and how much time they feel they want to spend. So I really think it's an individual matter rather than one generated by, you know, sex.
Just as a sidelight, has Del Mar ever had a woman mayor?
No, this is the first time. But we haven't been a city that long. I mean, it's been like 10 years or 11 years or something.
But Del Mar's only been a city for that long?
Yeah, I think we just incorporated for a number of years ago, so I hope I'm not incorrect in this. I thought we just had our 10th anniversary a year or two ago.
That's so possible. I'm new to, yeah, relatively new to the area within the last year. This was part of San Diego before then.
It was part of the county.
I
We've
see.
We've been part of San Diego. We never would have been allowed to become a city and have the racetrack.
Absolutely. What is the southern boundary of Del Mar?
It's just by Carmel Valley Road down there. It sands down to Torrey Pines Beach, this side of it.
In other words, the Del Mar Heights area and 4th Street up in there, that is Del Mar.
Yeah, but not the Del Mar Heights area. That's not Del Mar. That's San Diego, the city of San Diego. Del Mar is a long, narrow strip with an indentation that comes in. If you look on the map over there, yeah, right here, this area is San Diego. And this is Del Mar, a long, narrow strip that extends back in here. But then this part is all San Diego. See, so it takes kind of a bite out of the city, and we're sort of joined by a bridge.
Bleak bite, too.
Yeah, and we tried to get this property because we felt we'd be a much neater city to work with, and San Diego under Hahn wasn't about ready to give us the land. He was very growth conscious. Now you see there's been a change over there with Kimball Moore as city manager. San Diego's much less actively pursuing rapid growth. They're beginning with Pete Wilson and Kimball Moore to try to evaluate controlled growth or reasonable growth without creating overabundant problems, which rapid growth very often engenders.
What types of specialization occur on the council at present?
In what sense? I don't know what you're asking.
Well, do you take a special interest in one thing, and say Tom Pearson takes a special interest in something else, and
Dick Rupinski would have another. Yeah, we've been starting this under Tom. We've brought about a series of sort of, we call them portfolios, where you have certain interests that you elect to take on yourself, or if there are more than one, either more than one may do it, or you may choose one among several councilmen to take on one. Tom Pearson right now is interested in being the liaison between the 22nd Agricultural District, the merchants, and the city council, because there's been a rift. This is where I told you old Del Mar versus new. There's been this sort of feeling of not necessarily working together. You know, there's a, the residents' view does not necessarily reflect that of the 22nd District nor of the businessmen. Dick Rupinski is particularly interested in working with CPO. He's chairman of CPO this year and is doing a very good job. And he's very interested in, say, shoreline control and Proposition 20. John Silber is interested in that and soil conservation and ecology. In fact, that's really the orientation of three of our council members. And Tom Shepard, the youngest member of our council, is interested in those issues as well. But we do have certain portfolios. We really haven't gotten around to signing all of them yet, so I really can't, at this point, speak more to individual ones. But these are some. And Dick Rupinski's been active with underground and utilities. That's been another special portfolio of his.
Do men differ from women in their choice of, let's say, a specialization of interest? You can probably answer this.
I think probably at this point in time, this would be generally true. Are you going to cut off my profound answer right now?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Because of the fact that I think women are still conditioned by the environment and society around them, so that I think women generally would take on, for instance, improving the level of home life or cultural or socioeconomic problems, where a man would take over, say, Armed Services Committee. You wouldn't find women probably on a national level volunteering to handle armed services. So I think that there are cultural and socially invoked differences at this point in time, yes. I don't know if it would always be true or not. I don't know how to...